Good morning, church family. How are you this morning? We have to say we're a little sorry about the parking lot frustration or confusion, but let me just advise you, they all have axes. So let's not make too much of a hassle with them. In all seriousness, just thank you to our roadie team for coordinating with them. We love getting to be a part of this entire area where we have partners and neighbors and the Axe Pit, Main Warrior Gym. They've had a great weekend and we love being good neighbors, and they better watch out because in September, we're taking over the parking lot. So if you're with us this morning, thanks for joining online, and people that are here, it's so good to see your faces. I just want to reiterate what Josh had shared this morning. Our children's ministry needs leaders who are willing to raise up that next generation. And it's not out of necessity, it's out of opportunity, because these kiddos need people in their lives that aren't only going to share Jesus with them, they're going to exemplify what it looks like to follow him. So if that's on your heart, please grab those Connect cards and fill that out, write whatever you can on the back, and we'll get in touch with you. But don't put those cards away, because we're going to use those today as our first step in this Fishers of Men series. So you guys ready for this new series? We've had a great series going through Matthew with the Restore. I love watching the table get flipped every single week. But now we get to take up the call of being fishers of men. And it's a call that Jesus gives to all of us. We have a mission here at East Point, and it's to make disciples of Jesus who share him with others. And we can't reiterate it enough. It's not just for the staff. It's not just for the worship team. It's not just for the leaders, the life group leader, the hospitality leaders, the tech team leaders. It's for every one of us who say we follow Jesus. Because we'll see here in the scriptures, he calls us all to be fishers of men. So that's where we're going to go today. We're going to start this journey. It'll be over the next few weeks, but this could also be challenging because there's next steps. There's a little bit of accountability. We're going to use the Connect card and our cell phones and our hands and our feet with our neighbors and our coworkers, and we're going to get in people's lives to share with them what Jesus has shared with us. Okay? I'm sure everyone's excited for that. But let me pray for us, pray for this series, and we'll get started this morning. Father, we thank you for allowing us to come and gather here. We thank you for allowing us to worship you. And ultimately, we thank you for your Son. May you fill this place with your Spirit. May you guide us this morning. And may we hear from you, Father. We love you. We honor you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, Amen. Amen. All right. Many of you have been on fishing trips. If you're anywhere from the Northeast, I'm sure people here have all had that fishing story that you just caught the big one. Right? And if anyone here is a fisherman, come on, I need to see hands. How about that time where we hold it real close to the camera, where it looks real big? Fishing here is a staple in Maine. Fishing is a staple in the Northeast. Whether, like we saw in the video, you're out with a spin caster out on the coast catching stripers, you're out in the upper western hills of Maine on the streams catching brook trout, or like me, done a little bit of a commercial fishing. And for some of us who've been down early in the morning, down on the docks on Commercial Street in Portland, we've seen what it takes to get ready to go out for a big fishing trip. So whether you've got your fly vest on, or your waders, or your Grundins, or it's early in the morning, late in the afternoon, we've all understood what it's like to go fishing. We catch one every time, right? Every time. Every time. Not exactly. Unless you're better than I am, which is highly, highly likely. So there's a couple fishing stories we want to walk through today. And one of them starts in Luke chapter 5. And it's my favorite fishing story. And it's one where Jesus is coming down onto the beach early in his ministry. And there's a couple people there that they didn't know, but he may have just came for them. So we're going to open up our Bibles this morning, or our phones, or however we turn them on, and we'll start in Luke chapter 5 in verse 1, and we're going to go through 11 this morning. So it starts. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. So many of us have heard this story before, but I want to back it up a little bit and maybe paint the picture where Jesus is coming down onto the beach near the water's edge, but down there are a few fishermen. We could probably name them, maybe Peter and Andrew, James and John, maybe some others, but they're on the beach washing their nets. Assuming that it's the morning, they must have been fishing all night long. And we'll get to that. But I can't imagine that they're sitting there saying, oh, look, here comes the rabbi. Let's drop what we're doing and go hear what he has to say. The crowds are gathering around Jesus, increasing in numbers, coming to hear all of this radical teaching that this new rabbi has. But if I'm one of those fishermen after a long night of fishing, I'm cleaning those nets up and I'm going home. But Jesus gets into one of the boats. I can't imagine being Peter as I'm washing the nets and all of a sudden Jesus says, oh, is this yours? I'm just going to get in this real quick. I'm going to stand here. Oh, by the way, can you push it out into the water? I know that you're really tired and you're really busy and you want to go home. I just need a quick boat ride because look at the crowd. I got to have more of a crowd. I got to be able to teach to them. And the whole time it almost seems like Jesus is focusing on the crowd. But he might just be focusing on Peter. So he gets into one of the boats. Simon owns it and says, Simon, can you put this out a little bit from the shore so I can teach? So picking up in verse 4, when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch. They've been fishing all night long. So he answered, Master, we've worked hard all night long and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets. If I'm Peter, I'm saying, buddy, we're going back to shore. Because I've got a lot more going on than just throwing it out there after hours and hours, all night. No 50,000 watt floodlights. I'm out there by moonlight, hauling hand over hand over hand these nets, and they come up empty over and over again. And I'm sure this young Jewish man wished that the tradition didn't hang on, that he had to listen to this rabbi. But he honored him, and he did. Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets. And when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. And I want to stop here. Could you imagine the sheer joy of these nets coming up? Your livelihood has been sank, maybe just not that night, but nights before, poor fishing, and all of a sudden you're out here exhausted, but at the same time elated because there's fish coming up over the side and the nets are breaking. I've been there. It was on the West Coast, coming out of the port of Seattle. I was on about a 400-foot factory fishing trawler called the Ocean Rover. It was owned by a company called American Seafoods, and we were fishing for 3 weeks in an off-season catch in preparation to head up to the Bering Sea. But we caught nothing. 3 weeks of nothing. And it was my first time. They called me a greenhorn, so everything you see on Deadliest Catch is true. I knew nothing, so I'm happy bumping around in this boat, all excited that I'm on this fishing journey, and everyone's face is going from a smile to a frown to apathy because these nets are coming up on the vessel and they're empty. And so for them, that means their pockets are empty. So as we're heading up the coast of Alaska for our bee season of fishing, the off season up there in the Bering Sea, and yes, we're heading up and the seas are getting choppy and we see all these vessels that I see, the Northwestern, the Wizard, all these vessels. I say, those look familiar. He says, yeah, that's the Deadliest Catch boats. It's a little too aggressive this time of year for those guys. So we started heading up, and as we were coming out into the fisheries, out into the Bering Sea, people sat there with anticipation, saying, please, 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 whether they're agnostic, atheist, didn't believe in anything, they were praying, just hoping that these nets would come up with something. And so we set the drag nets, and we put the trawler into the drag motions, and we dragged the net for 16 hours. And there's a tensioner on the net, and it tells you when it's a little tight. And all of a sudden, we heard the winches go and the boat lurch backward. And everybody that could ran up on deck and held on to watch. And as the net came up over the stern of the vessel, it looked like a 16-foot-tall freight train of 160 tons of fish. And I tell you what, I've never seen fishermen jump for joy, clap, and hug each other like that day. But there's something about the elation of catching a fish, and you could be on a fly line just catching a little tiny trout, but there's something about seeing these beautiful fish come on board and knowing I have caught the catch of the day. And we get so, so excited at the provision. But what amazes me in this story is that Peter recognizes the provider. Right, we can see the fish and the catch is this incredible thing that God's given us and that we have in our hands, and we get so excited, and our whole life is hung on the provision. It could be financial, it could be material, it could be relational. All these things that are good that God has given inherent goodness, we can hang our hat on. But how about the provider? He's standing in your boat. When Simon Peter saw this, the whole net coming up onto the vessel, it's breaking, there's fish, his buddies are so excited, Peter fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken, and so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Peter fell at Jesus' knees. He recognized that the provider was way more important than the provision. Peter recognized who was standing in the boat with him. And he wasn't just a good friend. He wasn't a good deliverer. He's probably the best fisherman ever. I'll give him that. But at the same time, Peter recognizes this man who climbed in my boat, who came down that beach, this is the Savior of the world. All of the prophecies that he had heard, all of the learning that he had had as a young man, he was about to just scrap and walk away from because he was tired after a long, droughtful night of fishing. But then he realized who was in his boat. It was the Messiah. It was Jesus himself. And what's his response? It's a holy reverence. It challenges me in my response to Jesus to fall at his knees and say, "God, you've provided again." Or maybe if you're sitting in here, it could be for the first time you're asking Jesus, just provide this one thing. And when we get it, do we get excited about what's been given to us, or do we get excited about the giver? Do we get excited that he's the one that decided to step into our boat and make the difference in our lives and transform us forever? It's a holy awe moment of who Jesus is. So then closing up this passage here, then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." So they pulled up their boats on shore, left everything, and followed him. Left everything and followed him. This is the radical encounter they had with Jesus. That they were willing to leave everything, drag their nets up. They probably didn't even wash them again. They left him. In other accounts, in the other gospel, it says they left poor Zebedee on the beach. Four young men, Four young men, gone. Poor Zebedee is sitting there saying, great. But at the same time, I'm sure he's saying, these guys must follow Jesus. And this morning, our question is Jesus calling us to do the same thing? Is he calling us to be fishers of men? We have a mission here in our church family. Again, it's to make disciples of Jesus who share him with others. If we've been called, if we've met Jesus, this is our new identity. Our identity is no longer to be fishermen, or our identity is no longer to be in what we used to do. Our identity now is in the one that's in our boat, that has provided for us, that has given us this freedom that we have. And he says, now go. I will be with you. I will partner with you. And we're going to go transform the world together. And for us, transform Greater Portland for the sake of the gospel. And if you haven't had this motivation, if this doesn't spark that interest, my friends, I ask, have we had that radical encounter with Jesus? Have we had that moment that drops us to our knees, we recognize who he is, that he came from the Father. He was the creator at the beginning of the world, and he came into this life for you and for me. Do we recognize that? Is that what inspires us? Or do we crawl? I've been there. Do we crawl hand over knee to just get here for Sunday morning worship, just for an hour, because it's the best part of our week? He's in the boat with you all the time. He's with us. He's near us. We can fall at his knees and we can say, Jesus, I need you in this moment, and I know that you are the provider, because that's who we have. And as a church family, we want to go on mission. We want to see this whole auditorium flood the streets of Greater Portland. You can start by flooding the axe pit. Just be careful, they're sharp. But to be able to go out and engage people so that they too can know God, that they too can find freedom, that they too can engage this community that we've found to be so impactful, and that they too someday can share their story of how Jesus transformed their lives. And many of us think that we have to have the big catch. Right, I'm so glad I get to start this series off. I love fishing. But as a young man, my grandfather would stand next to me teaching me how to cast a fly out into the streams in Aroostook County. And he'd be sitting there catching fish after fish after fish. And I was catching tree after tree after tree. And he watched as every one of those little flies that he hand-tied under a magnifying glass would get snapped and snapped and snapped in the tree. And he would always say, Keeney, they're right in front of you. The fish you're fishing for might be right in front of you. Just cast into the pool. Just cast into the neighborhood you live in. Just cast into the workplace you work at. Just cast into the very family that so desperately needs the hope that we've found in Jesus. We all want to go for the big cast, and we always get stuck in the tree. But we have people in our lives that need what we have, and it's so difficult. I get it. But we can start with what he's done in us. Imagine Peter. If he never had this radical moment with Jesus and Jesus just met him on the beach and said, hey, this is who I am. I need you to know. I need you to follow this script. You kind of stand, sit, kneel, pray, do all these things. Now go tell everybody else how great it is. That's a pretty difficult thing to do. But when he meets you so personally, right in your occupation, where you're dragging nets onto the boat and he's providing for you and your whole life is altering before your very eyes, how easy is it to go tell somebody about who you've met? These men were willing to drop everything and follow him. And if we had that encounter with Jesus, and if we have, are we willing to do the same? It wasn't easy for me to drop my boots and my hard hat, but I tell you what, when you meet Jesus, you're willing to leave a construction site, you're willing to leave whatever the provision is that you think the world's giving you, and to be able to just go on mission. And it looks so different for every one of us. Because that's how personal he is. He wasn't there for the crowd. Could he have just been there for Peter? That's who we have in Jesus. That's who we have. And that's the Jesus we're sharing. We don't want to share out of a place of religion. We don't want to share even out of a place of a building or a structure. We want to share out of a place of a radical encounter with him. And that comes in our personal time. That comes in our recognition of him. It comes through the word. It comes through prayer. Even yesterday, as I was on my knees just saying, God, I just want to hear from you. I want to hear from you. And then I would wait and I'd say, I'm trying to hear from you. Can you hear me? And I just said, well, I guess I'll just start in the scriptures. And I flipped to John. And the John the Baptist is recorded early on in chapter 3 of saying, or later on in chapter 3 of saying, my joy is complete because he's come. I must become less and he must become greater. And it overwhelmed my soul. Because when we strive and we strive, Jesus says, just chill out. Let me get in the boat with you and let me provide for you. Are the people in this room that have experienced that? Are you out there? Can I get an amen? Amen. So then later on, as Jesus' ministry unfolds through his journey to the cross, through the trial, through the actual crucifixion, but then the resurrection. And he shows up, not just in a boat this time, but in a room with the very men that were his followers. He says, touch the scars in my hand. Touch where the spear was in my side. In Acts, he commissions them by saying, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Early on, he invites them to become fishers of men. And later on, he's saying, you guys are going. And if you started out with a spin caster and a bobber on it, you're getting on that commercial boat. Because when you go, you're going to fish for thousands of people. And here we are today. We're here because of the faithfulness of the early followers who got to know Jesus, who spent years with him, who heard his heart when he says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest. That's the Savior that we know. That's the Savior that they experienced. And out of that place, not out of obligation, but out of inspiration because they've met the Savior, they went. And for us, it's not as daunting as it might seem. Because it's all about the one. It's all about one person in our life. And today, as we take our first look at what it means to be a fisher of men, fishing for one means praying for one. And we can go before the Father boldly asking, would you just meet this person? Would you just transform their heart? Would you just draw them? Father, you do the work. Because when I work, I'm limited to me. But when I pray, all of heaven is unleashed. And that's the Father that we get to know. In John, Jesus says, whoever the Father calls, I will never turn away. Whoever the Father calls, I will never turn away. And that's who we have in Jesus. And that's our prayer, church. Our prayer is to ask Jesus, ask the Father, ask the Spirit to prep in people's heart this desire to come to Jesus. This desire. And it looks like an action step for us potentially where someone says, hey, I've just hit this broken part in my marriage. I've just hit this really rock bottom financially. I don't know what my purpose is. COVID's come into my life and changed everything, and I'm looking for something. We've seen what that looks like in Mackenzie this morning. We've seen what that looks like over and over again. The over 60 people baptized this year are coming with this desire to know Jesus. And that's the work of the Father in their hearts. That's the work of the Spirit drawing them to himself. where they say, I need to come to Jesus, and Jesus says, I will never turn you away. That's our Savior. That's who Jesus is to us. And as a church, we can be on mission for that. We can be on mission where we pursue the one who pursued us by being on our knees. By being on our knees for the people that we love and care about. And don't you think that the Father might love them just a little bit more? Don't you think the one that created them, that knit them in their mother's womb, the one that knew their DNA, that knew what they were going to do, knew the purpose that they had, that he might love them just a bit more than we do? And if you've been praying for one, if you've been pursuing one, and you're not seeing any fruit, man, church, just hang in there. It might be like fishing all night long and not catching anything. But let me tell you, church, the dawn is coming. And Jesus wants to get in our boat. He'll use whatever nets we have. He'll use whatever vessel we can provide. Maybe he'll just walk us and wait us right out and say, take one more cast. One more cast. And are we willing to say, Master, because you say so, we will do it. Jesus, you are Lord. We will do it. And for some of us in this room, maybe this is your first time here. Welcome. Maybe we just need to get to know Jesus first. Maybe we just need to get close to him. Because you may be exhausted. You may be tired. This world might be beating us up or not cashing the checks that it's writing to us. And Jesus says, come to me. Come to me. I will give you rest. Let me teach you. I will not turn anyone away that the Father draws to me. That's who we have in Jesus. And you can meet him today. You can use those connect cards that were handed out to you on your way in. You can write, I want to follow Jesus today. You might be on the fence of whether you want to turn your life over to him fully. Well, we can do that. We can help you in that. Baptism is a great way to celebrate that we celebrated today with Mackenzie. Fill that out. But for us, those of us who may have been walking with Jesus for a long time, it's time to pick up the poles, it's time to pick up the nets, it's time to get on the boat and go fishing for the people that are lost in Greater Portland. God has used his church over and over again through the centuries to transform entire regions of this world for the sake of his son, for the sake of his gospel. It's part of his beautiful story. And don't think it won't be hard. There's been men in my life that have stepped into really difficult situations to say, are you really following Jesus? And I say, yeah. Then why are you living this way? Do you know Jesus? Are you a Christian? Yeah. Then why aren't you following him? I'm so thankful for those men that were willing to fish in the hard spots. I'm so thankful for the people in this church family. One of them who I met this morning coming across the turf, he said, I'll come here, I'll work here free of charge if it means I can help transform lives for the rest of my life. That's a heart that has met the Savior. That's a heart that has met Jesus and realized that everything I could ever want, the bread of life, the living waters, the great I am, the one who existed from the beginning, the Alpha and the Omega, has met me and has transformed my life. And he invites me to do the same. Church, are we willing to go on this journey to become fishers of men and women? Are we willing to do that? Because if we are, we're going to take a time to grab those connect cards. We've littered this auditorium with them. There is no excuse. But there are connect cards that you were given as you came in. They're on the seat backs. They're on the tables. Hold your hand up if you don't have one. We want to get you a connect card because today, we're going to start this by praying for one. We're going to start this by working on our knees, advocating, interceding, asking the Father to draw people's hearts to Jesus. We can't do it on our own. We can't convince people in the kingdom. I've tried. Many of you have tried. But we can step into their lives and share what Jesus has done in our life. And many of you think, well, man, we've been praying for one for a long time. Is there anything that comes from it? Some of you remember years ago, we wrote names on the turf, under the turf, on the floor of Pray For Once before we laid that turf. We baptized one of those ladies whose name is written under that turf a year and a half ago. She didn't know Jesus. And God used the one that was praying for her in a tragedy, in a motorcycle accident, where this lady, riding her motorcycle, hits a deer, falls flat, and the person that's staying there checking in on her was a part of her story in the Pray For One effort. God put her right there. And another family who's been praying for one for years, that person has taken next step, has sat with me and chatted about baptism, and is in our starting point class right now. God works as we work with him in prayer. We're cultivating that culture here. We're built on prayer. And so this morning, I pray that you're inspired to grab that card, grab one of these, and join me in writing down who your Pray For One is. And you might not know who that is right now, but I invite you to ask Jesus to reveal to you who it is. And the first name that comes to mind, just write it down. Just write it down. We're gonna take a moment. We'll settle ourselves here for a little bit. And you can write on the Connect card in the Pray For One who that is. From there, we're gonna have a time of communion. We're gonna remember Jesus first. We're gonna pray for our 1 second. And then we're gonna have an action where we get to lay them here on the stage and we're gonna pray for them.